Words of Life ministered to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
I want to use for a thought and a topic, a title, God's Divine Favor. Because we are surrendered to God, and when we surrender to God, the devil begins to flee. Why? Because when we submit to his will, he surrounds us like a fence. Jesus be a fence all around. And when we surrender to his will, he begins to be our strong tower. And we can run to it and be saved. He becomes our shield, our buckler. He becomes our garrison around us so that the enemy can't do us no harm. But let me dig into this just a little bit. He says, submit therefore yourselves therefore to God. We need to learn how to submit to God, because when we submit totally to God, and when I say submit to God, that means also that we learn how to submit to one another, because I have God in me. Amen. Preach. Oh, we say, we always say, oh, I'm submitted to God, but we always have a problem with everybody else. You can't have a problem with everybody and say you submitted. Preaching here. Oh, hallelujah. Put your weight on that. Amen. You can't just treat people any kind of way and think that you're submitted to God, because that is not how God treats people. Amen. Amen. Jesus cheated. He treated even the sinners. Jesus treated them differently. Huh? Jesus fed them and blessed them. And they wasn't right. And guess what? They wasn't in church either when he did it. Amen. Walls, lights, pews. Amen. But we think sometimes because we pray and because we don't do some of the things we used to, now we're submitted to God. No, when you're submitted, submission really means that I really have to give up something. And sometimes you have to give up your rights to something. Sometimes you have to submit to what you think you're right and you're going to prove your point. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? Okay. You got to just let it be. You can't always be in battle with people. That's not what God wants. You cannot be in battle with folks all the time. We must submit one to another, or else we're not in the will of God. I'm just telling you the truth. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We have to submit one to another. And if we can't submit one to another, then we are not walking the way. We're not walking the walk. We're not in the will. Because the Bible even says Jesus, even though he was the chosen, even though he was the Son of God, submitted himself, that he became subject to governors and tutors. He had to learn. He had to be subject to Joseph, even though he was the creator. He had to be subject to him. Even Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, I can say something, but I'm not. He said, you wouldn't have this power if it wouldn't be from. But I'm submitting to it right now. Y'all don't hear me. And what we think we got the right to say. When you give up your right, you submit. Should I say that again? When we give up our right, we've submitted. Oh, I know we think I got a right to tell them off. I got a right to do this. I got a right to do that. If they did it to me, I got a right to it. Well, you know, if you believe like that, then you might be an Old Testament person and you believe eye for an eye, and that's cool. But you know, you got to live. If you live by the sword, you got to die by the sword. That's what it says. So I need to learn how to live by the grace. And so when I die in grace, I rise in. Oh, Lord, have mercy in this house. But he says, resist the devil. Now, that word resist is not the same as when God fights against the proud. I'm trying to teach something here. I'm going to try to get out of your way. I know y'all thought it was going to be something else. But he says, resist the devil. And what that means is that you just stand against him. It don't mean that you got to throw a lick. You know how I'm going in the spirit, I'm going to fight the devil. God, he didn't really even tell us to do that. This is what resistance is. Just stay there until you get stretched, till you can't stretch no more. This rubber band is resisting. It won't let my hands come all the way apart because it's resisting. It's being stretched, but it's resisting. I wish I had somebody. And so what God is saying, that you, in your life, you're going to be like this rubber band. The devil's going to pull on you. He's going to pressure you. He's going to stretch you, but you just keep stretching. Don't you break. You just let him keep pulling. And you just resist. I'm going to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. And I won't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I'm not going to let you pull me out of my position. I'm going to stand here. Amen. I'm going to resist the devil. And when I resist the devil, he realizes that I'm not moving. He realizes that the power in me got me some weight. Amen. I got this glory on me, and I'm weighted down with the glory of God, so I ain't that easy to move. I wish I had somebody in the house. I'm not that easy to move because I got the weight on me. Anybody know what this weight is? I'm talking about the presence of God. It's heavy on me. And so when the presence of God is heavy on me, I won't be easily moved by what you say. So I don't have to get out of character, preach. I'm not easily moved by what you do. So I don't have to get out of my position to address you. But I can stay right here and say, that's all right. I can resist this devil and he will flee. The word flee means that the devil will run and he'll hide from you because he'll think that you're Jesus. He'll think that you're the power of God. He'll think that you're Christ because you've shown him who Christ is in you. The Bible said, great is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And since God is in me, since Christ is in me, I'm going to show the devil Jesus. And when I show him Christ, he's going to realize that he's not fighting somebody ordinary, but he's fighting against somebody who never lost a case. He's fighting against somebody who's always victorious. Jesus said that in the world you're gonna have tribulation, but don't you worry because I've overcome the world. And if anybody's in Christ, you need to know that you've overcome, that you're more than a conqueror. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your own testimony. Do I have anybody, if you ain't mad at me already, that believe today that I got divine favor? Resist the devil. And the devil hiding from you. He's hiding and you hunting him. Now God is blessing you. You're praying and the power of God is in your life. And right now you've resisted the devil. He's hidden from you, but then you're afraid. That old devil, you praying, that old devil, I see him coming. You praying and you talking to people. I know the devil going to kick up as soon as I do this. What are you talking him up for? He's hiding because of your last resistance that you gave him. But we go looking for him. And then he realizes that I can cause a little mess in their life. But he doesn't realize that when he causes a little mess, all he does is cause the glory of God to rest on you even more. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Clean your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Look at this. He's saying that after the devil flees, when we draw nigh to God, we have a delightful fellowship in God. We're in the proximity in the place where God is. And when we get into the place where we begin to draw nigh to God, he don't let us start coming near him and he not come approach us. God will let you go all the way without him meeting you half the way or most of the way. Or when I was young, we would say peace the way. God will come peace the way with you. And he'll meet you where you are. If you set your heart toward him, he will meet you in the midst of your trial. He will meet you in the midst of your tribulation. He will meet you in the middle of your prayer time. He will say, okay, it's all right now. Are y'all with me? All right, amen. He says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you, but you can't come touching with dirty hands. You can't keep putting your hands in a little mess and then when you get a little something on your hand, say, God, you know, it's your fault you got dirty hands. But he said, wash your hands, clean your hands. How do I clean them? By cleaning up through the word of God. All right. He said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, I need to get my heart right because my mind is double. Sometimes, you know, and we're talking about we get into double trouble because our minds are double. You get into trouble and you keep getting into trouble and things get worse because your mind is not on God. Our minds are not in his will. Our minds are not into doing what he wants. Amen? He said, but we can't be double-minded. We have to put away our double-mindedness. One moment we saved, the next moment we want to cuss them out. Amen. Amen. One minute we got on our saint suit, and the next minute we got on our clown suit. Preach it away. Come on, we have to learn how to keep our mind stayed on him. Yeah. Why? Because he'll keep us in And, you know, we ain't got peace because we can't keep our mind on him because our mind keep wandering on the stuff that, oh, I'm going to tell him next time. You land in the bed and you think about what you're going to say. You think about how you're going to approach him. I'm going to bless him out tomorrow. You just wait. And then you think you're answering yourself because the enemy telling you what to say. Yeah. And you, oh, yeah, I'm going to say that too. And, you know, you when you say that, that's actually the devil telling you what to say. And you don't realize he just eased himself into your conversation with yourself. And he's telling you what you're going to say. And you saying, yeah, I'm going to say that. Oh, that's a good one too. I'm going to remember that. And he's telling you all this stuff. And here we are. We all distracted. And we don't have no peace because our mind is not on God. What I mean by your mind being on God, our mind is not on godly things. You're not handling it like God. You're not letting God handle it. You're not living and you're not trying to do what God wants you to do in the situation. So what did God say? He said, if they take your coat, give them your cloak too. He said that if they want water, you give them water. If they need bread, give them bread. He said, if they slap you, turn the other cheek. I wish I had. Ain't nobody saying amen to that one. That's what he said. That's right. If you can't say amen, say oh man. I'm the man. Ooh man. Huh? He says that we don't need to be double-minded. But then he goes on and the trouble when I got to verse 9 because nobody want to preach that. Ain't nobody want to hear it either. But the Lord said, James said, In his letter, he said, be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. He said, you need to make a change. He said, you're going to have some, you need to stop just having a good time now and start being serious. And he said, be afflicted. Be afflicted. He said that you're going to have some afflictions. He says you need to, at some point, you're going to be miserable. At some point, you're going to have misery in your life. Nobody likes that. I don't like it, but nobody likes it either, I know. He said, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning. In other words, he said, you're going to have some stuff that's going to happen in your life, and you need to make a turn, and you need to change and not be happy about how you are, not be happy about praying. Miss, not be happy about not following God's will. You need to have some mourning. You need to be sad about that. In other words, you need to have some godly sorrow when you miss the mark. I know we say all have sinned and fall short of the glory, but we have now made that cliche when we want to do something we ain't got no business. Preach it. We always use that when we want to do something we ain't got no business. All have sinned and fallen short. We can't keep using that as a to do wrong. Amen. That's error. You're using that in error. The scripture says that to let us know that we are not beyond anyone else. But when we miss the mark, when we fall short of the glory, do you know what that means? That means we fell short of being Christian. We fell short of being Christ-like. We fell short of fulfilling the will of God for our life. And so when we don't fulfill the will of God, we're out of the will of God. So when we fall short, we keep missing the mark. We're not Christ in every situation. So when we learn to be Christ in our situations, then we get victory. Amen. What do you mean? I'm saying that if Christ has victory, when you learn to be Christ in your situation, you'll have victory preaching here. In other words, whenever you're facing your cross, you'll be able to say, that's all right. I'm willing to go ahead and die because I know that because I'm Christ in the situation, I will resurrect. Do I have anybody in the house? Whenever you go through your trial, whenever there's a storm, you can sleep through the storm, but when you wake up, you can speak to the storm and say, peace, be still, and then it ends. I wish I had somebody in here. Whenever you're facing the demonic and they come to you and they sit there and they say, leave us alone, and you can walk up to the situation because you're Christ and say, leave him and let him. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I'm going to be Christ. I'm not going to keep missing the mark, but I'm going to be Christ in my situation. I know somebody said, how are we going to be Christ? You are anointed. That's what it means. You're not the Christ, but you are Christ. Amen now. All right, I'm going to get through. Be afflicted, mourn. Let your joy be turned to heaviness. But then verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Yes. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he'll lift you up. I know, you know, we habit of humbling ourselves in front of people. So people will know that we that's a nice person. Hey, you get home, you full of hell. You on the slide, you on the slick, you just, you know, you got your hand in a little mess here and there. Just as slick as you can be. Amen. Got people fooled, but you can't fool God. He said, humble yourself in the sight of God. Because God sees everything. Yes. God knows everything. Yes. He don't miss anything. I know you thought he missed it when you did it, but he didn't miss it. I know you thought you got away with it, but he didn't get away with it. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's, it ain't karma. Tell somebody, it ain't karma. It's Bible. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, because God is not to be mocked. Okay. I'm okay with this. Amen. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. See, we got to stop trying to humble ourselves in front of people, so, you know, because we become men pleasers. Yeah. With eye service. Yeah. As long as somebody you is humble and good and peaceful as you can be. When ain't nobody looking, you got hell. Uh-huh. I'm full of it. You brings the hell. Can I say it like that? I done said it now. That's right, Sister O. I done said it. But he says that when we humble ourselves to God and in his sight, he's the one that lifts us up. Quit looking for people to lift you up. Quit looking for them to build you up and say how nice you are, how good you are, how much of a Christian you are. Don't worry about that. All I'm looking for is the well done. I'm looking for him to say, I'm pleased. Well done, that good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. I wish I had somebody now. Oh, glory be to God. But he tells us not to. He said, don't speak evil of one another, brethren. He said, it's like when you're speaking evil of one another, it's just like talking about the law or the word, what God has said, because we all are word from God. And when we start talking about one another, when we start putting each other down, when we start beating up on one another because of our words of our mouth, he said, then we are putting ourselves in not as a doer of the law, but we're saying we're the judge of the law. And when you start doing that, the real judge gonna show up and appear. And he's not going to let you sit in that place. No, he's the judge, and he's the one that brings the final judgment. And so anytime you get in the place of the judge, you find yourself under the mercy of the judge. Do I have anybody in the house? But some of us ought to just be happy today. I'm so happy that I know the judge. You know, remember the man, they had a story about the man who had done so many crimes, and every time he'd do a crime that he would go, lawyer, and his lawyer would get him off every time. Every time he run over something, he had DWIs, he had all this trouble, and the lawyer, every time he went, went, he would get him off every time. And so one day he did something. He said, that's all right. I'll just go to my lawyer who's gotten me off every single time that I've had a problem. And when he went there, he looked for the lawyer, and the lawyer was no longer there. And he said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? He couldn't find another lawyer to take his case. But when he got to court, he went in the courthouse. He said, I'll just represent myself. He walked up into the courthouse, and he sat down as the defendant, amen. And when he looked up, he raised his head up, and they said, all rise. And when he stood up, he came in this judge, and he realized, and he started to smile, because the judge who used to be his lawyer was now the judge. And so when the judge got ready to see or hear his case, he said, okay, it's all right. It's dismissed and thrown out of court, because I know your case, because I was your lawyer, now I'm your judge. So what am I saying? That we have a lawyer right now by the name of Jesus Christ, that the Bible said one day he's going to judge the hearts of men. Do I have anybody in the house that realize that I got a lawyer that's going to be my judge one day? Come on and shout hallelujah in the house. Oh, yeah, but when we start to look at the scriptures and when I see what he says in verse number 10, and I realize that I need something. I need to be lifted. And how am I going to be lifted? The Bible tells us that Jesus was lifted. And he said, I be lifted up. I'll draw all men unto me. But when I think about being lifted, I think about that old song that used to be sung. It said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Anybody want to join in with me and say, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. So what did love do? Love came down through 39 prophets and 42 generations. Love took up an old rugged cross. I wish I had somebody here, because of divine favor on my life. He said, I lay my life down for my friends. Do I have any? Body, he said, not my will, but the will of God, so that I can have divine favor. Come on and shout glory in the house. But he took up the old rugged cross. It was my cross to bear, but he said, I bear the cross. But the Bible tells us he went up Golgotha's hill, but he laid down on the cross, and they put nails in his hands, but it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. They put nails in his feet, and it was not even the nails in his feet that held him to the cross. But he said, I love him so much that I give my life for him. Do I have anybody? This is grace at work. What is grace? It's God's redemption at Christ's expense, because he gave his life. I can now have eternal life. When he died on the cross, died and the sun began to go down. He died and the centurion said, surely this is the Son of God. But when he died, he didn't have anywhere to lay his head. Because he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. But Joseph Arimathea gave him a borrowed tomb, and he only needed it for the weekend, because early, somebody say early, it was Sunday morning when he got up with all power in his hand. He gave us power to become sons of God. He gave us power to walk in divine victory. He gave us power to overcome our obstacles. He gave us power. Anybody know he gave us power? He gave us divine favor. I'd rather have favor, because favor ain't fair. So you can have money and get sick in your body and your money can't heal. But if I got favor, I wish I had somebody. When your money funny and your change strange and your credit can't get it, if you got favor, it'll be all right. Somebody say yes. When the enemy comes at you, want to take you out, just stand and say, I got favor. I got favor. When trouble's in your way and you gotta cry sometime, that's all right, because you got favor. See, favor ain't fair. When the enemy wants you to get what you deserve, God say, I'm not giving them what they really deserve. I'm giving them what I want them to have. Anybody in the house, say, I'm getting what God wants. I'm not taking what I want. I'm not trying to work for what I want, but I'm getting what God wants. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, have your way. Do what you want to do. Fix my life. When they wrote me off, God will lift me up. When they give up on me, God will make a way for me. Do I have anybody to say, when the enemy came in like a flood, the Lord lifted me? Somebody say yes. Do I have anybody that say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all? Do I have anybody that said, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper? Somebody say yes and give God some praise. Won't God do it? Won't God do it? He'll keep you when you can't keep yourself. He'll make a way. You can't make a way for yourself. He'll open doors that's been closed in your face. Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Say yes. Help me to close the message. I got divine favor, and I want you to understand that he gives you more grace. He gives you more favor if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand. It's going to be all right. Tell somebody, it's already all right. I got divine favor. I got more than enough. You may not see it now, but I'm victorious. I may not feel it now, but I got the power. I may not see it now, but I got faith. Somebody say yes. Tell your neighbor, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Do you have any moments where you say, won't he do it? Do you have any times in your life when the enemy thought he had you, but God reached and grabbed you, and you turned around and said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yes here. I had times when I'm riding down the street in my car, and I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he done for me, and my soul cries out, won't he, won't he? Say yes. I know you thought hallelujah, but before I say hallelujah, I say, won't he do it? Won't God heal you? Won't God save you? Won't God make your enemies your footstool? Won't he do it? If you take a moment to recollect over your life, think about what the Lord have brought you from. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Won't he do it? I'm about to leave y'all, but won't God do it? Tell your neighbor. They've been sitting down the whole time. Grab them by the hand and say, I'm here to lift you up. Get out of your seat. I'm here to bring you up from the horrible pit. The pastor's here in the pulpit to pull you out of the pit. So get up. And I got something I want to tell you. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Do you know he's all right? Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Who is he? He's the Ancient of Days. He's Adam's Redeemer, Abel's Vindicator. He's Noah's Ark, Abraham's Sacrifice, Aaron's Rod, that budded in the wilderness. He's Moses' burning bush. He's Joshua's battle axe in the time of battle. Gideon's fleece, Samson's power, David's song. He's the balm of Gilead. He's Jeremiah's balm. Ezekiel's wheel. He's Job's horse pouring in the valley. Somebody say yes. He's Daniel's muzzle or in the lion's den. He's the Hebrew boy's fire extinguisher. Somebody say yes. Come on and give God praise. But he's my redeemer. He's my savior. He's my healer. He's my lawyer. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah.